We are blessed with the opportunity of being able to gather together today to be able to remember our Lord, to be able to focus our minds and worship to Him, to be able to spend time together as brethren. And now as we enter into a time of study of His Word, I pray that through the message this morning, all of us can be uplifted and motivated to serve Jesus better. I want to take our minds, though, this morning as we enter into this topic of discussion. Think about our theme for the year. I know we've had a lot that has happened in our country. The last week has been kind of distracting. There's a lot of ups and downs in the world. There's a lot of ups and downs in our communities that kind of get us off track. But ultimately, we need to be reminded of what our purpose is. As a church and as God's people, our purpose is to love our Lord, our community, and each other. And we can do that no matter what happens around us. We can do that no matter what kind of turmoil is in the world. We can do that no matter what kind of trials or hardship await us. We can do that with any kind of division out there. We can do that under any kind of government, whether pro-Christian or not, whether persecuting or not. I mean, so often we live in a little bubble where we think it's always going to be easy to be a Christian. But as we talked about last week, there is no promise of that in Scripture. But there is this promise here that is our theme for this new year. It is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 that says, "Yet those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow tired. They will walk and not grow weary." We can be strong. We can be renewed even during this difficult time if we learn to wait on the Lord. With that idea in mind, this idea of waiting on the Lord, I want us to take our minds this morning to a psalm that maybe you haven't looked at before. And it's going to be Psalm 130. We'll be there in just a second. But it is titled A Song of Ascent. And here's why this psalm is labeled this. And there's other psalms that are labeled this as well. But if you were a Jewish person, a Hebrew, what you would do is you make your pilgrimage toward Jerusalem. You know, yearly maybe you go to the temple and to worship God on maybe a special feast day like Passover or Pentecost or something along those lines. And as you would travel, maybe with your family and your servants and so on, toward Jerusalem, it was an uphill journey. You would literally be traveling uphill to get to Jerusalem. And what you would do along the way is you would sing praises to God. You would sing these psalms of ascent. And these psalms of ascent were designed to help you get your mind right as you're about to go before God. See, they were coming before, you know, the temple of God. And even nowadays, as we come to worship God together, I know God does not dwell in a church building or in anything made by men's hands. But mentally, we do make this ascent toward the throne of God when we go to worship Him. So picture, if you would, you're traveling with your family toward Jerusalem and you're singing along as you head toward maybe the temple. And here's what you sing. "Out of the depths, I've cried to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the sound of my pleadings. If you, Lord, were to keep account of guilty deeds, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits and I wait for his word. My soul waits in hope for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Yes, more than the watchman for the morning. Israel, wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his guilty deeds." So as you're traveling along, heading toward the temple, you'd be reciting this psalm and others. And this one right here reminds you to wait for the Lord. Waiting's hard, isn't it? See, we don't like waiting. And imagine, I know the Israelites didn't either. They were always looking for deliverance. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for help in different situations. And a lot of times it seemed like God forgot about them. You go into the Revelation and you have souls under the altar crying out, "How long? How long, O Lord?" They're waiting and wondering, when's God going to, you know, take care of what's going on around them? We do the same thing. We think, "Lord, when are you going to come again? I'm hoping it's before all of my kids become teenagers." That's kind of what I'm praying for. But we're waiting for something, right? We're waiting for an answer. We're waiting for deliverance. We're waiting for God to make something happen that we want to happen. And a lot of times it doesn't, and we get impatient. And as a whole, I think human beings are very impatient people. I know I'm impatient, and I don't like waiting. Because to me, waiting is chaotic. And that's just how my mind works. I don't like waiting. I like everything structured and planned. Now, it's weird because sometimes I don't, but I like certain things structured and planned. Like, for example, if we're going to take a trip,
The idea of just leaving whenever we feel like it drives me insane. I couldn't do that. I set a goal. Even if it's an arbitrary one, we will leave at 9 o'clock, and I make a proclamation to the family. We're going to leave at 9 o'clock. And then I meet that goal and I feel like I've accomplished something, right? On the way home, kids ask me, when are we going to be home? Dad, we're going to be home at 9:57. Yeah, and I make that goal. Sometimes to the dismay of my wife when I'm towing the trailer. But I set these goals because I don't like waiting, right? We don't like waiting. Lines bother us. There's been times that a while back I wanted to go to Walmart to pick something up. I know they're regulating how many people can go into Walmart. There was a line out front. I said, I don't need it now because I didn't want to wait. But the idea of waiting for God is throughout Scripture. And the same struggles that we have waiting for answers, waiting for help, waiting for deliverance, waiting for redemption, all of that were the same struggles that the Israelites would have. And that's why they would sing this song when they would go to worship God. And yes, we work through this text. Let's work through it together here and kind of break it down just a second as we make some application today. But notice in verse 1, it says, out of the depths, I have cried to you, O Lord. The idea of depths would be like the idea of like a well or like a pit is the word that's being used there. It's saying out of a dark place, out of a lonely place, out of a place where I feel empty, out of a place where I need help, he says, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. What is the psalmist doing? He's saying when you're in a dark place, when you're depressed, when you're down, a lot of times you ask, Lord, are you there? God, do you hear me? Are you listening to my cries? It's neat in this text right here too. He uses two different words for God. He uses the first word there. He uses Yahweh. And then after that, he uses Adonai. So he's using different angles here to cry out to God for help. In those dark places, when we need help, do we ask that same question? I imagine we do. Lord, hear my voice. Do you hear me? Please listen to what I have to say. So often we think our faith is weak if we ever ask a question like that, but the psalmist did it all the time. Ask God, do you hear me? God, are you there? Man, when we see chaos around us, we cry out that, don't we? When our life is messed up, don't we say that? God, are you there? That's okay. The psalmist does that here in this dark place. Out of the depths, he cries out, Lord, please listen to me. And then look what it says in verse 3. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. When we're in those dark places in life where we wonder how we're going to prevail, we have to humbly come before God. And that's what the psalmist does here. He says, look, I'm a sinner. My iniquities are there, but you're perfect. Really, how could I stand before you, God? You're so amazing. But God, I know that you have forgiveness. And I also fear you, revere you, that idea. When we cry out to God in those dark times in life, we should do it humbly. Not arrogantly like, God, how dare you not listen to me? No, God, I'm honored to be able to ask you this. Can you help me? I need you. My life is messed up right now. I could use deliverance. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. I mean, really, the whole idea of me even bowing down before you is strange because of the separation there of sin. But yet, God, do you hear me? That's what the psalmist does here. And then in verse 5, we have the verse that I want us to hang our hat on today where it says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits or does wait. And in his word, I hope. See, as the psalmist is ascending the Temple Mount and coming forth, you know, the figurative presence of God, thinking about this idea of God, help me, God, deliver me, God, take care of me. He says that, you know, well, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I need you. But God, I wait for you. I wait for you. My soul waits. And in your word, I hope. Think about this idea of waiting for God. What does waiting require? It requires you giving up control. Maybe that's why I don't like waiting, because I like being in charge. And the idea of waiting means that I'm not in control of the situation anymore. This is why I don't travel in groups a lot of times or have a bunch of big get-togethers, because I can't structure all of it, right? Here, he says, I wait for the Lord. When you have to wait for God, you have to say, it's on your schedule. It's not up to me. I'm not in control. I can't fix everything. I can't orchestrate everything into a way that makes me feel safe. I need to wait for God. And that's what the psalmist does here. He says, I wait for the Lord. In our theme verse from Isaiah, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, right? That's the idea. If you want to be made stronger, learn to wait. Ooh, that's hard. Learn to wait. Learn to give in a little bit. Learn to take a deep breath. Learn to settle down. That's hard. But the psalmist here says, I wait for the Lord. And then he reiterates it in Hebrew poetic form. My soul waits. It's the idea of every bit of you just waits for God. What does that mean? That means you trust in Him. That means you don't trust yourself. That means you are recognizing that you can't fix everything. That means you're understanding that the world can crumble around you and that you still have to wait on God. But he says, and in his word, I hope. As we dig into God's word, as we study it, we're reminded of the need to wait. The Psalms are full of these passages. If you would just open up your Bible and read them, you would find, wow. So many times, David and these other psalmists talk about dependence upon God, hoping in God, trusting in God, waiting on God. In His Word, I hope. See, we don't hope in our own accomplishments. We don't hope in our own sinlessness. We don't hope in our own activism. We don't hope in anything else. We don't hope in political leaders. We don't hope in financial stability. We don't hope in anything else besides God and His Word. And in it alone, we wait for redemption. And notice what it says in verse 6. It says, my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. Now, there's a couple debates about what this might be referring to. Some say it might be the idea of someone just getting up early morning and waiting for the sun to rise. Especially in a time when you didn't have clocks. In times, we went camping. This land, we call it camping. We have a travel trailer. But we were in our travel trailer, and I don't always sleep that good when, in the trailer and that kind of stuff. So I woke up multiple times during the night, and I look out the window because we had the windows open there so we could see, and it's dark outside. Is it about to be morning? Didn't know. Now, I had a cell phone, so I looked at it. Okay, 3:58. It's not going to be morning yet, right? Go back to sleep. But imagine in a time where you didn't have a watch. You didn't have a cloth. You couldn't look over and see, is it time to get up yet? What are you waiting for? The sun to rise. I remember one time as a little kid, we went camping, not in a trailer. And I remember, I've never slept well. I remember waking up multiple times during the night wondering, is it time to get up yet? Is it time to get up yet? Probably because I wanted to bother people and play and all of that. And I remember at one point I saw light coming through the window. I thought, yes, the sun is coming up. It was the moon, and my dad told me to go back to sleep. But imagine a watchman here watching. Is it morning yet? You know it's going to happen. It's not going to be dark forever, but you don't know when. Now, it could be a watchman maybe looking over over troops taking the night watch as a security force. Even then, when is his shift going to end? When the sun comes up. Now, you start to see some glimpses on the horizon as it begins to rise. We saw a beautiful sunrise and sunset out of Mojave this week. And the desert sunrise and sunset is amazing. And if you don't believe in God, after looking in that, there's something wrong with you. We went out at night when the moon wasn't up and got to see the stars. You can even see like the Milky Way coming across the sky. I've never seen stuff like that before. But imagine you're a watchman now. You know that the sun is going to rise, but you don't know when. That's what it's like right here. We know it's coming. We know God is there. We know God will answer. We know God will deliver. We just don't know when exactly, but we know it's coming. Every day we know that sun is going to rise. But without a clock and things like that, we don't know when until we start to see it on the horizon. That's what the psalmist says right here. It's trusting and hope that deliverance is there. In verse 7 then it says, Israel, wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his guilty deeds. Now, it's talking about the redemption of that people there at that time, but the application for us is there too. When we wait on God, we trust that he is merciful. We trust that he is abundant with his redemption. See, it's not just he has a little bit of redemption over here, a little bit of forgiveness over here, a little bit of grace over there. God is overflowing with it. He has enough power here to redeem all of Israel from their guilty deeds. He has the same power with us if we wait on him. So what's the application for us today?
What's the lesson that we can take home then from Psalm 130 today? And I came across this quote, and I don't know where it came from originally. I don't think it's very unique in that maybe one person came up with it. But it was this: sometimes, no matter how much you want for things to happen, all you can do is wait, and waiting is the hardest part. We have to learn to wait. And according to the psalmist right here, we wait in hope. It's not just that, well, I wait that maybe someday, hopefully, something's going to happen. No. We trust. See, hope is an expectation of something. It's not a wish. You know, I wish to be taller. I don't expect to be taller. But I hope to, you know, pay off my house one day. That's an expectation, right? I mean, understand that. There's a difference. We wait in hope. So now with that in mind, think about, you're an Israelite. Heading toward the temple, why would they sing this song, this psalm, on the way to worship? A few reasons, and then the lesson is going to be yours. First off, this psalm reminds us that in the midst of trials and hardship, we need God. We need mercy, and we need His grace. Think about where the psalm begins. In the depths, in the pit, in the abyss, in darkness, that idea. In those dark places, we know that we need God. We always tell people, sometimes they had to hit rock bottom first. Hopefully, mentally, we can come to that realization without physically getting into a bad spot. But here, this psalm reminds us that in the midst of trials and hardship, we need God. Number two, this psalm allows us to focus on and to contemplate our own shortcomings and sins. Notice how the psalmist here talks about that, hey, you know, I have iniquities and you have forgiveness. There's this comparison here that I'm flawed and God is not. We need to contemplate our sins so that we can work to overcome them. Number three, this psalm forces us to put our trust in God as we wait. I remember one time as a young child, we didn't always have dependable cars, and we were taking a trip, I think, over to the Santa Cruz area, and our car broke down on the side of the road. And I remember my dad left to go to a gas station or something. This is before cell phones and all. That's how old I am. And I remember sitting there in the car with my mom waiting. We knew one day he would get to a gas station, and we knew he would be able to get a tow truck, and the tow truck would be coming. But yet, it was totally outside of our control then. There was nothing else we could do. I remember sitting in the back of that car. I think it was a white Ford LTD station wagon with green vinyl interior that was left over from the fire department. Shows you how classy we were. But we were in this car, right? And I remember being in the back seat of that hot station wagon, waiting for the tow truck to come. There was nothing we could do. Now, as a kid, I mean, I was probably running all over the car, and my mom probably was pulling her hair out at me running all over the car. But in that moment, there was nothing else we could do. We had the trust that my dad was getting a tow truck and that the tow truck was going to come. That was it. We had to wait. Our life is like that. We know that help is on the way. God will deliver, whether it be in this life or in eternity. We know that God forgives. We know that God answers prayers. But it's outside of our control when. So instead, we wait, and as we wait, and as we sing this psalm right here, it stirs up in us hope that God will hear. So this morning, my encouragement for all of us is this: we must trust God, even when His answer is wait. That's hard. We want it now. If you want to go, you know, was it Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory? Veruca Salt says, I want it now. That's how we live our lives a lot of times, but we can't live like that. Sometimes God's answer to our cries in trials. See, not just a casual prayer, but even in the depths, when we're crying out, Lord, deliver us. Sometimes His answer is wait. But yet Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. My encouragement for us today is this: let's learn to wait, and as we wait, our strength will be renewed. The lesson is yours this morning. Steve is going to come up to the mic and lead us in our next song. If you're tuned in online and you need help in any way, reach out to one of us. If you're here in person, you need the prayers or encouragement of this church, you need to get plugged into a Bible study, talk to one of us afterwards. But right now, let's stand together and let's sing.